And a very, very good afternoon to you. It is now time for the lunchtime social debate on the Monday Morning Mix with me, Andy Knight, joined in the studio, as always, by the lovely Baroness Dame...
And
Queen of the Airwaves. It's Kim Philby. Good afternoon, Kim.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm all right. Where did the morning go?
I know. Yeah. Well, the clocks
scary.
Have moved, you see.
Oh, is that what it is? Now, oh.
A lot of people will be aware, I decided not to go with the clocks forward thing, and I let you crazy cats go into the future by an hour. And, you know, what's it like in the future? Is it
it's
okay?
Great.
Is it lovely?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, keep me posted.
No looking back.
I'm firmly rooted in the past.
You're firmly right. Fair enough.
Anyway, for the next hour, yes, I know a lot of people say that. We'll be chatting about goodness only knows what over the next hour, and it's your opportunity to get involved, of course. Anything that you'd like to talk about locally, nationally, internationally, trivial or important, whatever is on your mind, do get in touch, and all the usual means are at your disposal. That includes email. You can email studio@vectisradio.com. You can tweet @VectisRadio. You can post on Facebook. You'll find us at facebook.com/VectisRadio and put your comments on there. Or, of course, you can phone right through here into the studio, live on air. And the number 01983 240666 240666 will bring you onto the studio line, and we can chat to you with your voice. Not forgetting, of course, our new service, our new text service that we've got here at Vectis Radio. You can text us your thoughts or messages, and that is on this number, 60777, and you need to start your message with the code BR6TT to 60777, and we can get your message that way. So that's all the housekeeping, and I don't think there's anything else in the way. I mean, you can send a carrier pigeon, you can even lob a rubber brick with a note tied around it through the front door if you want. We'd love to hear from you anyway. So Kim, lots to talk about, all over the place, things going on the island here. The Island Line train service, I read,
yes,
is going to be part of the Southern Network, or the rail network, takeover by a Chinese company.
Interesting.
And
small
they're
carriages,
promising...
I feel.
But they are promising all sorts of investment and upgrading and so on.
But wouldn't it be great if we could just open up the train lines all over the island?
Well, you know, you've got to wonder if a new company... I mean, Chinese investment is global these days, and there's a lot of money sloshing around. I believe the Chinese economy has slowed up a bit, but nevertheless, I think, you know, the amount of money that they're ploughing into not only their own economy, but investment globally, if you actually research it, they've got fingers in just about every pie in every country.
Why not the
Isle of Wight? Well, you kind of think that, you know, your point, it's an old chestnut, I know, and it crops up. If Dave were here, he'd be giving it large, I know. But the idea of extending the railway network on the island is one that, it's a bit like the fixed link, it crops up every now and again.
It's just such a shame. We can all talk in hindsight, obviously, but if you think about it now, because we have so many cars on the island, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have that anymore? And we could, well, I know, obviously you're always going to have cars, but it would just be so much better to have the rail link across. But back in the day, they didn't think about that, did they? And I dare say they didn't think cars would take off as well as they have.
Well, no. I think we're pretty much at the anniversary date of when dear old Dr. Beeching swung his axe. It was round about now.
Probably back why I brought it up. Yes.
1963, I think, wasn't it?
I was a baby.
Yeah, all right, no need to go on about it. All right. Yeah,
but I remember my parents talking about it, and my sister.
Well, yeah, and you'll remember me saying that as a nipper, I used to travel on the old steam train between Ryde and Sandown and go to school.
Now that's giving it away. Now, yeah, stop
I know it.
It
is. Yeah.
Stop it now.
And everything was in sepia.
Black and white and sepia.
Yes, lovely.
No, but seriously.
No, the idea of extending the rail network would be a huge infrastructure problem, I think. But, you know, the fact that we've got the heritage railway here, I mean, it's something that you've got to wonder whether the investment, because it has been highlighted that the links to the mainland through Ryde in particular, obviously with the junction, if you will, at the top of Ryde Pier with the only commercial railway line on the island, of course, between Sandown and Shanklin and Ryde. And you've got to wonder that if they are going to look at doing anything, what they're intending to do. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, the Chinese, I think, still have some of our old steam engines. You know, perhaps they might think of upgrading those and shipping them back onto that.
That'd be good. I mean, not a lot's known about this. I mean, this is quite new, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
They've decided
fairly recent,
to. But it would be lovely if we could give a wish list.
Well, yeah, wouldn't it?
Do you think they'd ask us? Do you think they'd say, what would you like to see? Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
I mean, because they've taken over the, you know, the southern network, the rail network, as I understand it, to a large extent. And if I can just find...
So have they actually taken over all of it?
Yeah, MTR, the Mass Transit Railway, are the Chinese firm, and they've taken over the Southern Western Rail Network with well over £1 billion of investment promised. But you've got to think that the list of investment potential projects will be as long as your arm, and then some.
It will, and probably, you know, it won't happen to us, will it? It just, you know, the Isle of Wight will get missed, as we usually do. Because, as you quite rightly say, I mean, South West Trains, there's an awful lot that's got to be put right there.
Well, yeah, but we are promised. I mean, bearing in mind that the franchise is set to change on August the 20th this year under Southwestern Trains, but we are told to expect that there will be better connections with Cross Solent Links and improvement of the passenger experience. I'm never quite sure what that means, but
it just means trains will run on time.
Oh, I see.
I mean, that's their goal, isn't it, at the end of the day? It's a joint venture, isn't it, which will take over from Stagecoach, apparently.
Yes.
70% First Group and 30% MTR.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, one would hope that some of that investment would find its way to the island infrastructure in terms of the stations and the timetabling, and indeed the rolling stock, which, you know, is getting on a wee bit now. And if they're going to replace it, what would they replace it with, do you think? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, but certainly, you know, the idea of a heritage railway on the island is really, you know, what the island really needs in terms of its tourists.
It certainly does. Again, it comes back down to that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just obviously giving the thing a quick flick, and I actually can't find anything related to the Isle of Wight with it. So I'm guessing we're halfway down the list, are we?
Well, yeah.
Or, you know, which is a real shame.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be good if they would come along and say, right, we'll do this, we'll do that. Is it me? Well, am I going choo choo choo?
No, it's lovely. No, I was just thinking that's rather appropriate to have that
that
bed of a train.
It's me thinking, what's that? Where's that coming from?
I expected you to do a tiny sort of Thomas the Tank Engine's alive and well in the studio.
I'm terribly sorry about that.
No, that was rather good. That was very good.
There I was, dutifully looking down what I was trying to speak about, and there was that little train going choo choo in the background.
That was brilliant. Couldn't have planned it better.
You couldn't at all.
But, you know, in terms of what we've often talked about as a topic during the LSD on a Monday, you know, the future, the strategic plan, if you will, for the island's future as a tourist venue. And I think that, you know, we've already discounted, hopefully, and kicked into the very long grass the idea of us becoming a sort of inaspic theme park of what Britain
no,
was once.
No, we're not doing that.
Exactly. That's what I say. That kicks so firmly into the very long grass that, you know, the idea of making us, you know, that well-being, peaceful, glorious, beautiful place with lots of contemporary attractions, but there's nothing wrong in marrying that up with, you know, an appropriate transport network of which the trains could be an integral part.
Well, I think it would be lovely, but you know,
we'll see
what they say.
Yeah,
I mean, I quite like the idea. They've got this idea, haven't they, a Student Connect smart ticket for 16 to 18 year olds.
Well,
that sounds
yes,
quite good.
I think that, you know, one of the aspects, as opposed to the sort of, we have rather focused on the tourism angle, but we have to remember that there are a lot of people, particularly young people, who use it as commuters.
Well, that's right.
I think that in itself, you know, almost on a standalone basis, is as important, perhaps some would say more than any other tourist aspect to it, and certainly in terms of providing students with good value transport to link to the mainland Cross Solent Links.
Well, I think someone's got to, because,
you know, that
would
be great.
I find it incredible. I mean, obviously, as our children have grown up, the amount they've had to pay for bus passes and things like that. I mean, you know, and if they do have to get off and they have to go by train, I mean, they really do. I mean, most of these youngsters do need help. to get across, don't they? Especially the ones that don't, that maybe go to uni over there, that don't necessarily want to live in.
Exactly right. You know, that's exactly what I was going to say.
And that's huge. I mean, they are saying there's going to be a marketing campaign to raise the profile of the Isle of Line and the Isle of Wight. So maybe they will, and maybe they'll get some money in, and they're going to work with Visit Isle of Wight, apparently.
Yes.
Hover Travel, White Link and Red Funnel.
Well, I mean,
so
I think
here's
that
a chance for everybody to play together.
What we often are guilty of saying, what I'm certainly guilty of saying, joined up thinking,
which we were just about to say.
You know, I mean, if it's going to work for people, and there still are a lot of people, as we said, who commute to the mainland up to London every day. And if that service can be made more reliable, more value for money, so everyone from your regular commuters who choose to live on the island and commute to the North Island, as I call it, anything north of Cowes, it's foreign country.
It's just you.
But also the youngsters who want to either work just across the water,
yes,
or who are studying, as you rightly say, and a lot of them do. My youngest currently at Portsmouth Uni, and you know, a possible regular commute with
absolutely
a reliable and good value travel service,
wouldn't that be
of
fantastic?
Which the trains would be an integral part, would
yeah
be brilliant.
It would.
And also I guess it would encourage more people to either stay on the island in terms of youngsters if the services and the costs become more competitive, shall
I
we say?
I think so, because I think it's appalling. I mean, we have some really good colleges and unis across the water. I mean,
yeah,
it's a shame we don't have a uni on the island, but we don't.
Well, that's again
that's
an
another
old chestnut,
beef of mine,
it?
But
yeah,
you
yeah
know, that's,
yeah,
you know.
Well, no, the Isle of Wight College has pulled its socks up and you know, in
huge
all sorts
time
of ways.
Huge time.
Over the last 20
yeah
years, it's unrecognisable.
It has, yeah, I agree.
And there's great, great work being done
and
there.
And who's to know? It might happen one day.
Well, yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know, at the moment it isn't. So I feel we should be sort of, you know, helping the kids out. And if somebody like this can come along and make an investment and that actually cuts the fares down, that's got to give our kids more options, which I
exactly
think is really important.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you know,
that's the key word,
options.
Options, options
yeah
is the key word. I think you're absolutely right there. And I think that any investment on the island's travel infrastructure has got to be a good thing.
Absolutely.
I mean,
right,
I can't see a downside to it.
No.
And no one's come on board yet with a comment to point out any potential downside, which we may have overlooked. By all means, do get in touch if there's something that concerns you about this potential takeover of Southwestern Rail. You know, if you see any downside, I think obviously we're going to have to watch it closely. As you and I have both said, the list of investment projects will be huge, and we may well be fairly well down the list, but we are promised something, so something's better than nothing.
And I think it would be great if we can, you know, if they can sort of recognise the fact that we do need help. I mean, we are an island in crisis and we need help, simple
yeah
as that. And you know, I'd be the first one to get out there and say, look, we need help, come and do it,
yeah,
you know, come and help us out here. We shouldn't be too proud. I think that's part of our problem, really.
I think that if we've got a genuine case, and I think that it can be proven without too much
absolutely
in the way of difficulty, if we've got a proven case for saying, look, the you know, the actual infrastructure is pretty ropey, pretty old, needs upgrading, while you're doing it, what
yeah
you know, what else can you bring to the party?
Absolutely.
And if there's that much investment going, and we are within the you know, the confines of this investment project as a whole,
yeah,
then we need to, as you say, put our best foot forward and make a claim.
I think so.
And you know, see what comes out of it. But yeah, potentially good news. I think
yeah,
potentially
I think
good
so
news there.
Excellent.
We'll be coming to a break very shortly, and we might come back and talk about some more island-based stuff, because there's some discussion going on in the council chambers about concerns being raised about the amount of house building that's going on the island. Is it actually benefit the local population, the local house requirements, the needs of local people in housing, or is it just overdevelopment? Are we in danger of losing too much in the way of greenfield sites? Are there perhaps plenty of brownfield sites that we ought to be looking at? So maybe we'll chat about that in a moment or two, but we'll be back after these. You're listening to the Lunchtime Social Debate on Vectis Radio with the Baroness Kim Philby and myself, Andy Knight. It's 20 minutes to midday.
www.vectisradio.com. Leader cabs have arrived on the Isle of Wight. A modern taxi service that's simple to book, safe to travel and secure to pay. Travel in comfort and arrive in style with our top-of-the-range vehicles. Our friendly, well-trained drivers will take you to any destination on the island and beyond. We also provide transport for special occasions like parties, weddings and corporate travel. In a hurry, save 10% and use our app to book your cab in advance. So call us today on 01983 33000. Leader Cabs. Quick, easy, safe and secure.
Livewire Electric Shop. For all your domestic appliance needs. Appliance sales, repairs, spare parts and TVs. There are 5 and 7 year warranties available on selected brands. Find us in Orchard Street, Newport or call us on 01983 522 420. Livewire, your one-stop appliance shop.
Do you need help with personal or career development, anxiety, stress, limiting beliefs? Do you want to understand about your current situation, about what really matters in your life, the choices you want to make and who you really are? Working with me, Maggie Curry, and learning to live life from the inside out will bring you more freedom, more fun and much less stress. Get in touch with me today. Maggie Curry, professional transformational coach and consultant, 01983 754 666 or email hello@maggiecurry.co.uk. If you do nothing but hope your life will change, it won't. Be certain your life will change when you work with me.
Reading Roman Villa, more than just an award-winning museum. The eco-friendly building provides free access to a cafe that has stunning views of the whole of Sandown Bay, acres of free parking and plenty of space for children to play safely in the tranquil setting that's hardly changed since the Romans lived here. Come and try Ben's lunches and Nikki's cakes, all homemade and delicious. The friends of Brading Roman Villa provide visitors with a free introduction to the villa's history and delight in answering people's questions. Brading Roman Villa open every day, 10 till 4. Come and treat yourself anytime.
Hello, I am Android. I want to tell you about the Vectus iPlayer. Go to the Vectus Radio homepage. Do it now, I am waiting, still waiting, still waiting, still waiting, still waiting. Scroll down around 6 inches, click the purple icon. There are an array of shows for you to listen on catch up, including Chip's Dance Hall Show, He's a Cheeky Chappy, The Rock Monster Show, and The Friday Rock Show, all available for free on the Vectus iPlayer. You can also listen live. One day androids will rule the earth.
Stay social and get in touch.
It's at Vectus Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
And we're back. Good afternoon again, coming up to 25 minutes past midday. This is the Lunchtime Social Debate with myself, Andy Knight and Kim Philby with you through until 1 o'clock. And just coming back to that point I mentioned before the break there about the island plan core strategy, which was discussed at a full council meeting recently and unanimously supported as a strategy, a planning strategy. And part of that planning strategy, of course, involves the future of development for housing here on the island. Now, there are many aspects to this, most of them are common to a great many rural areas across the country, and there's nothing different to that extent in terms of, although we're in an island, we are obviously clearly a largely rural area, and we suffer from the same problems that many rural areas do, particularly those that are remote. And I suppose as an island you would say that that automatically makes us remote in some ways, if not in distance, then in terms of perception perhaps. But you know, the thing about local affordable housing, retaining people to stay and work and live and support the island economy, has been an age-old problem, of course, being a tourist isle. And there is, in parts, there are some extraordinary sort of wealth pockets, I think it would be fair to say, in terms of housing on the island.
Yeah.
A lot of people of you know, perhaps off island have retired here or have holiday homes here from the mainland, who have considerable sums of money. And so there's a lot of very wealthy development going on, but is there enough in the way of locally affordable development? And you know, there are government guidelines and there are local council guidelines, of course, in terms of planning, with this new strategy that's been unanimously supported. And the future of housing on the island is clearly an issue. I mean, we talked about the transport infrastructure, but there's no point in having a decent transport network if nobody lives here.
Absolutely right. And unfortunately, there are an awful lot of second homes.
Yes, well, of course there are. Yeah.
Which is a little bit of a bee in my bonnet.
Yeah.
I love the DFLs. I have only one thing. Well, I don't know. Do you want me to come in here with my little snippet of information?
Well, no, you've got some interesting stuff there.
Well, Policy SP2 confirms that the island plan requires 8,320 dwellings to be supplied by 2027.
So that's 8,000
over the next 10 years.
So it's 800 a year if we see it in roughly.
Which isn't a huge amount, except obviously that's not broken down into whether they would be houses in flat for families or one-bedroom flats, two-bedroom flats, etc. So it's hard to know what bearing that's going to have on the infrastructure of health services, etc. But it is a requirement.
Right.
And therefore, we have to start looking at where these things are going to be built.
Well, you know, there are some major developments that have occurred and that obviously still will do, and some that are in the planning stage at the moment. Some fairly major developments. I mean, we're talking, you know, large numbers, dozens of even hundreds of dwellings in some of the bigger developments that have been proposed. Now, those are fairly contentious, particularly if it's the old NIMBYism, you know, and most of those tend to be in the East White, I think it would be fair to say, certainly Central and East White. The West White has always had a far more rural aspect, and which is part of its enormous charm, which is why it would be fair to say, I think, that both you and I and many others choose to live there.
But it has, in the policy actually states that at least 240 of these dwellings of the 8,320 should be provided in the West White. So they are actually looking to build in the West White.
Oh, okay. Oh, so there is, the West White is highlighted there. We've got a caller coming in here. I'm just going to take this and see who's on the line. Good afternoon. You're on live on Vectis Radio. Who's calling?
Hello, Andy. It's Nick.
Oh, good afternoon.
Hello,
Nick. How are you?
Yeah, I've crawled out from under my stone. Here we are.
what have you got to say for yourself, mate?
Right, well, development and that sort of thing. The most important thing with any development, you can go on about affordable housing, you can go on about social housing, and there has to be a certain proportion of social housing, as we know. Affordable housing isn't even worth the paper it's written on, because what do you define as affordable? But the most critically important thing with any development, as I know from work I'm doing up here...
Well, can I just interrupt, because our listeners, I'm sure, are aware, but you are a councillor in Essex, of course, aren't you?
That's right, yes, yeah. I've been in major rows with developers for about the last 6-7 years now. And we still haven't got any further. But coming back to this, it's infrastructure. That is more important than actually building the properties. And this is something developers don't like to do.
Yeah.
You know, you can have all these Section 106 agreements, which is, you know, where they pay for improvements to the local area.
So can you just retread that just for those people?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you're clearly very familiar with the terms here, but can you explain what this Section 106 means?
Right, well, Section 106 is where an agreement is made between the council and the developers that they will pay for an improvement to local area. I mean, sort of like, you could be bus lanes, it could be improvements to the roads, it could be it could be anything.
Sure.
But, you know, that money is then put aside and ring fenced for that particular work to be done.
Oh, okay.
It has to be done within a certain period of time, but it is ring fenced for that specific thing. I mean, here we actually had a massive area was redeveloped, and they 106 for a bus lane. I've never seen a bus in them yet, but there we are. But coming back to this infrastructure, now, particularly with developments around the Newport area, Pan, and the Cowes area for that matter, the big issue that you've got is the Coppins Bridge area, which is absolutely gridlocked. There's not much more you can really do with it.
No, true.
Unless you actually redevelop the area. I mean, we're talking about actually knocking down properties and changing it.
Take down the council building.
Oh, no, council building's not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, Coppins Bridge has been another, you know, old chestnut, a running sore. It's a running sore and has been for as long as I can remember. And, you know, the logistics of resolving that have never been met head on in a manner which...
I would imagine with the advent of ASDA, it's about to go completely out the window because that's going to cause even more hassle.
Yeah. I mean,
this is a problem. This is a problem that I face here in this town. You know, they want to develop, but they're not prepared to actually upgrade the roads.
No, exactly.
To cope with the extra traffic.
Sure.
You know, because if you say you have 1,000 houses built,
mm-hmm.
then you're looking at 2,000 more cars.
Yeah.
On the
road.
At least.
Yeah, probably.
Because planning rules say that you have to have, I think it's 2 parking bays for every property.
Yeah.
I don't know what the local rule is there, but here it's 2.5.
Mm.
But it's, you know, local rules, you know, local areas have different local rules. But, you know, sort of this is what it comes down to. And you know, you're putting more traffic onto the roads,
mm-hmm.
And the roads can't cope with it. You're also putting more, you know, sort of on sewage, on drainage, on everything. Schools, you name it. It's, you know, it's all stretching on that.
Where do you stand?
Developers don't want to pay for it.
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, we're talking there probably about brand new developments, particularly those, and you can enlighten me more from your end of the perspective on this in terms of Essex. But I suspect that in your area you have what might be termed more in the way of brownfield sites than we would have down here on the island. And therefore, any major development does impact greenfield sites, which, you know, we've got to be really, really careful of down here. But, you know, what's the situation, again, at your perspective of the Essex end, if you will, and the Isle of Wight end? I'm not sure how much in the way of brownfield or unused buildings, housing that could be brought back into use that we have here. And therefore, if we're going to develop, it's almost inevitably going to impact on greenfield, which is a major concern for us, I think.
Absolutely, yes, I agree with you 100%. I mean, up here, we're talking about Harlow, that's what I can talk about, which is my town.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have brownfield sites, not a lot, but a few. In this town, we have what are called green wedges, which actually go right the way through the town, and they literally are wedges. If you look at a map of Harlow, you can actually see the wedges. And then around the outside of Harlow, we've got Green Wedge, which is where the developers want to go, the Green Belt. And, I mean, down on the island, I mean, coming to the island for donkey's years now, I'm not aware of that many brownfield sites that are left, particularly around the Newport area.
No.
I'm not sure about Ryde or Cowes either. But the majority of the island is green, well, what you would call green sites.
Kim, you were going to say something on the brownfield.
Well, I was, but again, I don't know if it's brown or green. I think it's green, but there's a development about to happen in Northwood, which seems to have slipped under the radar because nobody's made a fuss about it. And suddenly, we're going to have a whole load of houses at the back of Northwood, which I can see looks like green fields. That's what it's been like for years.
Yeah, but
how does that happen? How do they get through? Because nobody residential has gone for this, and it's not, as far as I know, it's just slipped through planning with no argument. So how does that happen?
Well, the question needs to be asked on that is, you know, if they're claiming it was brown field, what was there before? It doesn't matter, the time scale doesn't matter. There has been something built on that site before. That is what makes it a brown field. Now, if it's green field, I mean, when it comes to sort of like on the mainland, where you have the the green what's boundary, the green areas, you can actually mitigate that by actually creating like for like. So you create a new piece of green belt which can't be developed on.
Difficult to see where that would happen.
So that could be another possibility. I don't actually know. It's very difficult to talk about individual cases, particularly when I have nothing to do council-wise with the Isle of Wight.
Well, no, but I mean, you're very familiar with the island,
might be
as you say.
106, oh, gosh,
yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
We don't have the space.
Could have been developed on before.
We don't have the. Yes, of course, I understand that. And the fact that it may look like a green field, per se, quote unquote, doesn't necessarily mean mean it's a greenfield site. I understand that. If it had previous...
green, it isn't green.
It isn't green, yeah. It may well be.
30 years, it hasn't had anything on it.
But that still would qualify as a brownfield site. In
what, if it had been,
if it had been before. But the problem we've got is because of... And, I mean, it's, I don't know how relevant this is, but, I mean, because we have finite limits on the land available, being an island, clues in the name there, that, you know, because we have a finite limit... You know, should there be a limit on the, you know, should planning restrictions be more robust here than perhaps elsewhere because of that simple fact?
Well, this is where you need to look at your local plan. I mean, the local plan is sort of like developer's Bible, if you like, that's produced by the council, but it's produced by every council in the country, or it should be, actually, that lays out the plan for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Sure.
And it specifies, you know, what you can and what you can't do. Now, in a place like the island, as you say, which, and let's face it, it's getting smaller because bits keep falling off. well, it's the nature of the beast, I'm afraid.
It's a lot smaller at high tide as well.
Absolutely, but a lot wetter as well. But you need to look at the local plan, read it.
You see, I think that's a fair point. No, a lot of
people don't even know that exists.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think
you need to look at your local plan and see what they're saying, because they may be creating something where they say, "Yeah, we're going to protect this. You know, this is going to be this is farming land. This cannot be developed." End all.
As far as I know, they're only protecting the rules. That's the rule.
But you know, sort of, if they've said, "Right, okay, we're going to have so much percentage is going to be, you know, of the green land," because you know you can't really have green belt on the island because it doesn't work.
But
they can say, "Right, you know, sort of, you know, a certain percentage of farmland can be developed."
But you see, I mean,
the local plan,
the figures that Kim, the figures that Kim just threw up a moment or two ago about over 8,000 new homes to be built within the next 10 years. Now, that, you know, to a lot of people, they may say, oh, that sounds an awful lot. Some people may say, well, that doesn't sound... No, exactly. But, nevertheless, if that is the strategic plan for the council, which appears to have been unanimously adopted from what we understand, then we need to look at the strategy and the detail of the plan. Where on earth are these 8,000 homes going to be put? And I don't think that many people have... are either aware of or have access to or don't believe they have access to or have had sight of what might be a vitally important document, which is this strategy.
Well, it would have been put out there for consultation, etc. What I will say to you, 8,000 homes here, we're talking 54,000.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
But pro rata to your population of Harlow versus the island, I mean, that would be reasonable, wouldn't it?
You know, but I think you need to have a perspective as well.
Sure.
And a realism. It's lovely to complain about development. It's, you know, sort of, it makes you feel warm and fuzzy. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy as well. So I'm not, you know, I'm not, you're not alone.
Yeah, we're all NIMBYs together.
I'm not complaining about development. Excuse me.
I didn't say you were. I said complaining about.
Now, children, stop bickering.
How dare you?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I do like a bit of controversy.
I shall take you to a commercial break if you don't settle down, children.
All right. Okay, Dad.
But look, the point I'm trying to make is that to continue to be a success, you need to be able to grow and expand. And I think 8,000 houses is a very small price to pay in the big picture.
If the big picture comes off, though, Nick, that's what my beef. I mean, these 106s you've spoken about. Yeah, I know. 106s you've talked about, that's great, as long as they actually come to fruition. And how many on the island haven't? And I know for a fact there's a good deal.
Well, that is why...
Sorry, throwing the bomb in and walking away.
No. You're absolutely right. I agree with you 1,000%, particularly with the council at the moment on the Isle of Wight. I've been watching it very closely for years, and I'm disturbed. Well, yeah.
Steady, Nick.
You're leaning on an open door there.
You are, my darling.
I threw that one up in the air.
Mange two, as he falls down.
but no, I mean, I am concerned about the leadership. Well, I mean,
Well, we have local council elections coming up, and of course we do
exactly.
have...
This is what I was going to say. You've got elections coming up on the 4th of May.
Mm.
That is the time when you need to put a tick in a box or a cross in a box. How you vote, it doesn't matter, but you need to make a vote, and everybody should be doing that.
Sure.
Because if you don't vote, you've got no right to complain.
Absolutely.
Totally agree with you.
I think that's a very, very sound point. And I think that, as you rightly point out, and just mentioning that, that because we have local elections, and I consider that this year's local elections are perhaps... So, I don't know, it's always important, of course it is, but I think they're more critical this year than perhaps they have been for some time, and that it is important that we are made aware of what the options are, and as you rightly point out, Nick, that everyone gets out there and uses their vote. Of course, we do have, as a media station here, we do have a pre-election embargo on making political commentary, and we will be giving opportunities, naturally enough, as we always do, to all the parties involved the upcoming elections to have their say. Of course we do. But we want, you know, I don't want to make any political charge comments, shall we say, at this stage as a pre-election period.
I haven't said what party I belong to or anything else.
No, I understand.
Because I do believe that everybody has a right to be heard.
Sure.
I would challenge the politicians on the island to actually get off their backsides and actually tell people exactly what they think. Don't sugarcoat it. Be honest with your electorate.
Yes.
And make sure that these issues, and I think development on the island is a massively important issue, are properly discussed in the public domain by all candidates of all colors, shapes, hues, or whatever, you know, because that is, you know, that is what is more important than anything else. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox now.
The only point I wanted to make was we've had a lot of supposed consultation with the public, and the dear old public just don't bother. They don't bother coming out. Now I don't know if
Welcome
that's because oh well then it isn't just what because I thought maybe it's because it's not put out there enough, we don't know enough about it, but people just don't seem to give a what's it, you know. But anyway,
I mean, the number of times on the doorstep I have people saying to me, oh, I can't be bothered about it, they're all the same. No, they're not.
No, I think we're going to come to another break now, Nick, but I think the points that you there have made and endorsed by Kim there are absolutely bang on, that now is the time, particularly in the with the local elections coming up, it is important that these issues are aired, and the development on the island is a major issue. We're going to have to go to a break now, Nick.
Ask the questions on the doorstep.
Absolutely right. We'll be back after these. Okay. Thanks,
Bye
Nick.
Bye.
This is Vectis Radio, serving the Isle of Wight and beyond. www.vectisradio.com.
The Four P's Project is proudly supported by Wheeler's Solicitors, helping you achieve your aims in life. We deal with residential and commercial conveyancing, wills, lasting powers of attorney, and probate. For more information, call us on 01983 533 938 or check out wheelers-solicitors.com.
All Washed Up are an Isle of Wight skiffle band playing an upbeat mixture of skiffle, blues, swing and much more. Bookings can now be made on 01983 521 267. That's 01983 521 267. Or email daneshirleysteed@gmail.com. So if you want your evening to go with a bit of a swing, call All Washed Up.
Check out the Riverside Centre Carpentry Shop next door to Vectis Radio. Skilled craftsmen have a small shop that's set up to donate to the Riverside charity. The shop contains nest boxes, tables, garden furniture, wooden horses. Practically anything wooden can be made to order. The skilled craftsmen are down to earth and really friendly. So don't be shy. Come and see them here at the Riverside Centre in Newport.
Hello, everybody. My name is Don Weber. I'm raising money for the Earl Mountbatten Hospice. A year ago, my wife was looked after wonderfully at home by their community team. In her memory and for the hospice, I'm going to walk from Lisbon in Portugal to Santiago de Compostela in Spain, 375 miles.
If you would like to sponsor Don's incredible journey, just go to www.justgiving.com and then type in Don Weber in your search for fundraisers.
Thank you very much.
Are you ready, Boots?
Hello, I'm Tom Jackson and I'm 16. I come from Cowes and I've been doing 4P's course. When I first arrived here, I didn't know what to expect. I knew that I'd be getting a new kind of skill set that will be really valuable later in life, especially as I'd like to go into the media when I'm older. While on the course, I really enjoyed working on the pieces such as my top 5 song list and presenting my own lunchtime social debate. I cannot put into words how much I've learned, and I would thoroughly recommend the 4P's course to everyone I know.
Stay social and get in touch. Add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
It's 12:45 on this Monday afternoon. This is the Lunchtime Social Debate, part of the Monday morning mix with myself, Andy Knight, and of course Kim Philby in the studio with me. Great to have Nick Churchill on there, who is a local councillor in Harlow in Essex, a great old friend and a lover of the Isle of Wight, I think it'd be fair to say, and always good to have his views. He does keep a very close eye on us here on the island.
It's like having move back.
I think he should.
Move down.
But he does talk a great deal of sense most of the time. we love you, Nick. But I think something, a point that Nick made there, which I just want to reiterate because I think it's an important point, not a subject or politically specific one, but just a general one that about. Being aware of what's going on now, particularly at this time of year, and particularly as I've mentioned with this critical local election coming up in about 6 weeks' time now, clearly there are major issues at stake here, and the local council elections on the 4th of May are always important, but as I've suggested, I think that this year they have a certain cachet about them which will dictate the direction the island takes, certainly for the foreseeable, and therefore it's really important that we get involved. And I think that, you know, the point that Nick was making, and Kim, you and I just talking there off air during that break, that a lot of people say, oh, well, we weren't told or we didn't know. Well, I don't think that's really the point. And I think that what I would stress is, and what I'm really just reiterating what Nick said, but don't wait to be told. If there are things that concern you, whether it's to do with the infrastructure on the island, with investment, whether it's to do with housing development, whether it's to do with the strategic plan for tourism, or whatever it is, whether it's to do with your local community, and when I say local, I mean your village or town where you live, maybe even the road where you live, the parish where you are, or the island as a whole, don't wait to be told. Ask the questions. And Nick made the point that when people knock on your door, will you be voting for me on May the 4th? Well, there's your opportunity. When you're being doorstepped, ask the questions that you want answers for. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely. And if you don't know where to start, go to your local parish council.
Yeah.
Start with them.
Absolutely.
And, right. You know, you will get the answers if you ask, but you have to ask.
Yeah. I think that is so important. And as we begin to pick up the pace over the next 6 weeks running up to the local council elections on May 4th, that it's important that everyone takes responsibility. I know we talk about this a lot in various different guises, whether it's to do with health and so on and so forth, but take responsibility for our island by putting these councillors, these potential councillors, these people who put themselves up to garner your votes by offering this, that and the other, ask them the questions that you want the answers to. Don't wait for them to post something through your letterbox with a manifesto pledge about we'll do this, that and t'other. You know, if there's something that is important to you, as I say, locally, very locally, in terms of your own parish, or perhaps on a wider canvas in terms of the island as a whole, ask the questions that you want answers to help inform your choice.
Because and challenge that's so, it.
And challenge it.
Challenge
definitely.
It. You know, if there's something you don't agree definitely. With, then challenge it. Challenge it all the way.
So thanks very much, Nick, for that. Always a balanced view and a really interesting one too. And finishing off as you did there with that point that I've just reiterated, which I think is such an important one as we begin to hit the pre-election season, as it were, over the next 6 weeks. There'll be a lot talked on, both on all media. You'll see it in print, you'll see it on the local TV news, and you'll certainly hear it on local radio, and you will certainly hear the candidates here on your local community station on Vectis Radio as they are cross-examined in no uncertain terms by various members of our team here. And you will, of course, have the opportunity when those people are in the studio here to call in with your questions and make your comments directly to them. That's why we're here. That's one of the things we do. So do bear that in mind and use this facility, use this opportunity through your local media to pose those questions. And as I say, if you get a knock on the door and somebody waves a brochure at you saying vote for me, then buttonhole them.
Can I just say, though, that I have never been doorstepped.
Have you not?
All the time I've lived here, and that's 20 odd years, I've never had anybody accost me on the door. Never.
A local
never.
Council
I've
election?
I've had leaflets put through the door, but nobody face-to-face. Because if you did, if it's face-to-face, then you can talk to them. Mm. But you can't talk to a leaflet.
No.
And I think that's when things get lost, because you kind of think, oh, yeah, I must do something about that. And it goes on the side, and then it gets buried.
Yes.
So I think that's another culprit. You know, these councillors need to come out. They need to come out. They need to come and knock on doors.
I wonder how many people locally actually would recognise their local councillor if they walked into them.
Not many. Mm. And I only do because, obviously, Mr Dave is on the parish council.
Well, of course, yes. So
but that's the only reason, because nobody's ever knocked on my door and said, hello, I'm XYZ.
I mean, I wonder how many people, if we took a straw poll and actually said, do you know the name of your local councillor?
I know.
It's frightening, really,
well,
isn't it?
Well, it is frightening. It is.
And I'm sure Nick's eyes are rolling to the ceiling.
More than likely.
As he listens there. But, you know, I wonder, we're very good at moaning after the event.
We were just saying that in the break, weren't we?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's inevitable, and discussions over a coffee or a pint will take place, as they rightly should, in pubs and cafes and kitchens around the island and around the country, of course, and that's right that it should be that way. But there's no point in complaining about something that you didn't know waiting to be told, if you can ask the question and find the answer you need to help inform your decision and get out there. And as Nick again said, use your vote.
Absolutely.
It has to be done. It really has. Nick is just messaging saying that he thinks he's turning into a pundit. Well, you're one of our favourite pundits, and I'm sure we'll talk more as the impetus, the political speed, as it were, picks up over the next 6 weeks. Just talking about that, and briefly, not going into a whole new subject, but you know, the opening salvos, shall we say, of various local parties are beginning to be made, and the front page of our local paper, of course, the weekend, where the independents, going back to a subject we talked about a week or so ago, about Red Funnel, the Cross Solent Link, the ferry and hydrofoil service there, being put up for sale, and the independents suggesting that it would be part of their pledge, their manifesto pledge, as I understand it, to put a bid in for purchasing part of the going concern.
On behalf of the Isle of Wight?
On behalf of the Isle of
Wight. Well, you see, now this is where a little bit of joined up writing and thinking in your words would come together. Wouldn't it be great if a consortium of representative of each party came together and proposed that exact
Crikey,
thing?
You're a bit revolutionary, aren't
I? Just, yeah, right. No, I really do believe that.
But
we should have
a stake
in it.
This sounds dangerously like common sense to
well,
me.
Well, oh, yeah, I'm... well, there's the problem, you see. But seriously, what a great idea.
Yep.
And, you know, why isn't every party saying, right, as a consortium, we will come together, we will make X amount available, we buy a share in the ferry company. Surely that makes sense. I mean, I know we're short of money, and there's where it doesn't make sense, because obviously we haven't got the money to do it.
But in principle.
Yeah, because obviously if the independents are promising that, then there must be some money, or they must think there must be some money somewhere, in which case, why can't we just have a consortium of member of each team, if you like, that could go on board and do that? Because that's what we need. I mean, why should all the money that we pay out as passengers go to a company? Why can't we have something in return? I mean, it's the biggest beef from anybody that you hear. It's the cost of the ferries.
Absolutely. And I mean, there are loads of aspects to this, and I think you've made some excellent points there, but there are loads of aspects to this, and I've brought it up. I'm guilty of doing so over the years, where, you know, the opportunity that the council had 40, 45, 50 years ago even, to buy a stake
in
the
Sea Link, wasn't it?
Sea Link in those days, which was missed and is constantly ruined booed by people locally who remember that and saying, oh, if only, if only. Well, perhaps now, as you say, with that little bit of joined up thinking, you know, I mean, when one almost thinks, and I'm going slightly left field with this, but one almost thinks of the model of the cooperative.
Yes.
Where, you know, you actually...
That's what I mean.
You do actually own, as it were, part of, and I'm not, you know, other supermarket chains are available. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not advertising the cooperative. But, you know, in terms of organisations where you have some sort of part of it in terms of voting rights.
Yes, cooperative is the right word. I said consortium, but that's actually what I meant.
But I'm using cooperative both with a small C and a capital C in terms of a model. But as you, I think, have pointed out, as I say, dangerously too close to common sense for it ever to come into fruition. But, you know, the idea of perhaps an island-wide consortium, irrespective of political hue, colour or leanings, perhaps with some of the more notable local businesses, of which there are some
hitters. Yes, exactly. Thank you. Took the words right out of my mouth. We have some really good, clever people on this island who could put this together.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why they're not getting off their butts and doing it. I really don't.
There must be, you know, I mean, this needs to be considered as one of the aspects. And, of course, you could come back and say, oh, what about education? What about housing? What about, you know, council tax? What about the waste disposal?
But it's fundamental.
But, you know, the link as an island, the links to the mainland are crucial in more ways than it's pointless listening, and we all know them, but that, because we're an island, those links are absolutely vital. The complaints, the grumbles, the gripes about the ferry fares, again, as you rightly point out, is top of the list of most islanders' gripes. If you said, give me your top three things about the island, if you look at those interviews in the local rag where people say, what's the thing you hate, you know, that you love about the island, and there are loads and loads and loads of things, what's the thing that you dislike,
the cost of getting on and off, and it's always there, and it will be in everyone's top three. Okay, well now's the chance, ask the questions, it's up for grabs.
Why don't we try and get people joined up in their thinking and more importantly in their actions? I think that's a very, very good idea, and I think we might actually leave the debate on that very, very note, because I think that's a really important one. And the contributions from Nick, we're very grateful for, as always. Thanks for coming on board with that, Nick. And of course, Kim here talking, as I say, far too much common sense. You're in danger of being pulled by the collar into becoming a candidate.
No.
I think there's a lot of people, if they're listening, will probably say, that woman, you know, she talked a lot of sense. I shall vote for her.
Is it my husband that's just slightly right of Genghis Khan? I can't remember. Right or left? I can't remember. I think he's right. I think I'm the opposite side.
But anyway, let's think about it, because, you know, the council election, 6 weeks' time, May the 4th, an opportunity happens to coincide with this cross-solent link up for grabs. Maybe we need to be asking those questions. What do you think? Well, there'll be lunchtime social debates all this week. Maybe you'll get in touch with Macca, who'll be back for them for Tuesday to Thursday's lunchtime social debates. But that pretty much does wrap up the show for today. The Monday morning mix grinding to a halt. Just remains for me to thank all of you for joining me stroke us today. It's been a pleasure to be with you on this beautiful spring day. Kim, always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely wonderful. Look forward to seeing you again next week.
See you next week.
I shall be returning on Friday morning from 10 o'clock for the Andy Knight Radio Show here on Vectis Radio. Do join me then. After the 1 o'clock news, which is coming up, Kevin Wilson's here for the Monday Magazine. Until then, enjoy the sunshine. Bye-bye for now.